shot that's knocked away. Niederreiter diving for it. Play to center ice. Kubelik dives for it. Now a chance for Kemp. David Kemp scores! It's Bedlam in Prague!
It's huge. It's huge, and I think it's right behind Nagano. Nagano was big because there was the best players in the NHL at the time. You know, nothing probably beats Nagano. You know, it's gonna be number one probably forever. But until next Nagano comes, but this World Championships is something special because, like you said, it was at home. It was in Prague. It's new generation players kind of thing. And last time we won. And in Prague was 85, so it's almost 30 years, I think, or something like that. So it's crazy, yeah.
Former Hap Thomas Plekanec with us yesterday from Prague on the coaching staff of the Czechia team that won gold at the World Hockey Championship, beating Switzerland in the final. Welcome back, Mitch Melnyk. Andy Bennett, John still has left the building. He's going to call the CF Montreal DC United game at Stade Saputo. We'll get to Aaron Ward and Pierre Maguire in the next hour. Welcome home. Welcome back. Gord Miller, how you doing?
I'm great, thanks. You guys?
Very, very well. It's beautiful. It's almost summer. And I should point out that Plekanec did reference running into you and Mike Johnson in Prague in between games.
Oh, it was great to see Plecky there. He's such a good man. I was laughing with MJ. I said, Thomas Plekanec was impossible to prepare for as a broadcaster.
How so?
Because he was so consistent.
Right.
He never scored like 5 goals in 6 games. He never went 10 without one. He scored every third game. He went about 55% of his draws. Like, he did the same thing all the time. There was nothing new to say about him.
Yeah, he's
he was incredibly consistent. And very good.
It was so strange to see him with a Leafs jersey on, and thankfully he came back, scored in his 1,000th game and all of that, and hopefully he embarks on a successful coaching career. Gord, how far away are we from having, not the first, but a perhaps long overdue European head coach in the National Hockey League?
So there have been a couple, right? There was Alpo Suominen in Winnipeg. There was, Chicago and Winnipeg. And there was Ivan Hlinka in Pittsburgh, which was kind of a different situation. They brought him in to try to tame Jágr. I think it's long overdue. My leaning candidates would be Rickard Gronberg, who coached the Swedish team to back-to-back world championships, coached a world junior team, coached Zurich in the Swiss League. He coached Tampa to Tampere this year to a Finnish league title. I would think that there's some guys in North America now. So Gronberg played college hockey at St. Cloud State, was an assistant coach in Spokane. So he's got some North American coaching experience. I would say Marco Sturm, who I believe is coaching LA's American League affiliate. Olli Jokinen's coaching very well in Finland. But it's hard for me to believe that only North Americans can coach here. But it's going to take the right team with the right amount of courage to give it a try.
Well, along those lines, a little bit, Dan Bylsma, named the new head coach of the Seattle Kraken, said that it's possible that Jessica Campbell will be added to his staff.
Yeah, and Jessica's earned it. She's worked really hard. She's been a terrific coach. She was assistant coach of the German national team. She's excellent, and she deserves it. So, it's funny because it's a little bit like English soccer. So, there's a lot of clubs in England that would never look at a foreign coach outside of like the London teams and Manchester. Like, there's a lot of teams that just wouldn't. It was a big deal when Jurgen Klopp went to Liverpool. How many English coaches are coaching elsewhere at elite clubs around the world? Like, none. So maybe you need to open your eyes and say, we need to look at this and maybe there's people out there that know what they're doing that can bring a fresh perspective. I think, and look, I'm close to it because I know his dad so well, but Mike McKenzie, the GM in Kitchener, hired Jussi Ahokas, a Finnish coach, this year to coach the Kitchener Rangers in the OHL and did very well. Ahokas did very well.
Gord, I definitely would be curious as to like what kind of an environment that would be like for a female coach, even if like you said, she has earned it. But what would you say to people where it's like, why would I, like, what does she have to offer NHL players?
Tactics. I mean, you know, video breakdowns.
Communication.
Are only men able to break down video?
I got to say this.
I mean, preaching to the choir over here.
Yeah, no, I want to say this because, you know, I've been in this business for over 45 years. I wonder what it would have been like at some point to work for a woman. You know, it's ridiculous, really.
Well, look, and Andy, I say this with the greatest respect. You know, 40 years ago, the idea of you co-hosting a sports radio show would have been unthinkable.
Oh, absolutely. And
it took a lot of women.
Yep.
A lot of hard work and a lot of abuse to get to the point where we say, yeah, she knows what she's talking about. And so, you know, you don't say half as many stupid things as the other guy.
Thank you, Gord.
You're welcome. Hi,
that's friend. That's how I sign off my emails. But I will say that, you know, that stuff is still ongoing. It's not like I don't ever hear it. But clearly we've come a long way. And I do think there is a new generation of young men that are going to be way more accepting to having a woman in their environment.
Well, they're not going to have a choice because some women will be calling shots.
I remember 30 years ago, Frank Robinson managing against Cito Gaston, I think in a postseason series, might have been. And that was such a big deal. I remember Cito saying, I hope there comes a day when that's not considered a big deal.
Yeah.
And now it's not, right? Two African-American managers face off against each other in a postseason series in baseball. No one bats an eye, right?
Gord, just the sound of you and Mike in the booth on that clip, which I cut a little short. I don't know if you can, you know, you've spoken eloquently about everything that's at stake and how meaningful it is for people. Like, okay, so Canada left without a medal. We'll get into it briefly in a minute, but certainly that was brought home by what Thomas had to say. But just the vibe that was there. What was it like to be in the middle of that for that particular moment?
It's just so different. The game sounds different over there. It feels different. The fans are different. You know, it's not nearly as corporate, right? It's people that don't have the tickets because they're not as expensive for anything, like for regular games as well. And it's just a different, and the laws are different too, right? Like you can't walk down. Can you walk down the street with a beer in your hand in Quebec?
Some pedestrian streets, some streets that are close to traffic will allow it. During the Jazz Fest, you can do it. Most times, no.
But so in Prague, in Czechia, like there's people walking down the street having a beer. There's these giant, you know, just sort of areas where people drink beer. And I'm not saying that alcohol consumption is essential, but it does fuel it somewhat. It's way more of a festival, a party. It's just regular people. It's just fabulous. And I kind of laugh, you know, when people hear say, well, you know, Canada lost. Well, no one cares about that tournament. You know, oh, we won? We're the best. which is it?
Not to go after anybody. That's not why I'm asking the question. But for those who maybe didn't pay close attention until late, why did they leave without a medal?
Well, they lost the shootout. Bottom line, they lost the shootout. So, I mean, they got to overtime against a very good Swiss team, and they lost a shootout. I don't think there's a need for a national inquiry. I think it's just, it happens. Look, I mean, it's funny, you know, like, so Canada wins the gold medal at the World Junior in Halifax, right? And it's like this great celebration of Canadian skill and heart and will and everything else. Just before Connor Bedard scored in the quarterfinals against Slovakia, a Slovak player took a shot that hit the butt end of Thomas Milic's stick, the goalie, goalie.
Yeah.
If that goes in, Canada loses in the quarterfinals, and it's a catastrophe. Like that's the razor's edge in hockey, right? So the Oilers beat Vancouver in Game 7 of the second round. They're geniuses, and the Canucks are terrible. not quite how it works, but so I think you've got to be careful evaluating single elimination hockey in small samples. Now, over time, it should even out. Canada's won 4 of the last 9 tournaments. They finished 2nd in 2 others.
Thanks for the segue.
Yeah, our group responds well. You know, it's a belief in our room that, you know, we can respond in these situations, and I have no doubt we'll do the same tonight.
I think it comes from a lot of times where I didn't do it. I think going through different types of experiences and your whole hockey career shows you a lot about who you are and what you need to do in order to obviously get better. And I think being able to bounce back from games, like we said, the whole team does it.
Well, Gord, you've been on site for a lot of these more than we have. It's rare. I'm impressed that Stuart Skinner was sitting next to Connor McDavid on game day taking questions in a vitally important game 4 tonight.
Yeah, and I like that. I think, you know, he's not afraid of anything.
But you know, a lot of starting goalies won't do that.
Or you can't even talk to them on game day. You can't even say hi to them on game day. What I found most interesting was McDavid's vociferous defense of Darnell Nurse, who was under siege in Edmonton. So, and McDavid, someone asked the question about Nurse, and McDavid jumped right and said, "I'll take this one." Mm-hmm. And he's really close to Nurse; they're best friends, and so I think he took that personally. Look, Dallas is a really good team, and I felt before the series, when Dallas was playing Colorado, I thought Colorado was a better match for Edmonton. More run and gun, probably higher scoring games suits them better. Dallas is more of a grinded out, you know, tough down the middle, tough on defense,
better goalie,
hard to break through team, and they've got some elite scoring
and a better goalie.
Yeah, but also better defense, and Roope Hintz being back for Dallas is a huge game changer for them. He's one of the most underrated players in the NHL. He's on the Sasha Barkov track. He's going to win a Selke as the NHL's top defensive forward.
And he scores 30 every year.
Yeah, he scores 30. Oh yeah.
One question: are you considering 11-7 at all tonight?
It is a possibility. It is a possibility. We haven't done that very much this year, and but yeah, something we've considered.
All right, Gord, since they made Philip Broberg available to the media today, I don't think it requires Sherlock Holmes to figure this one out. What can you tell us about Broberg other than he's a former first-round pick?
Well, he's always a first-round pick. he was a guy they picked 7th overall a few years ago in the draft. He hasn't panned out the way they hoped. He was sort of projected as a high-end offensive defenseman. You got to remember, one of the storylines that's not talked about with Edmonton was the loss of Oscar Klefbom, right? Who was a penalty kill, power play, you know, number one defenseman whose career ended with a couple of shoulder injuries. And replacing him has proven to be very difficult, as it would be for any team. So Broberg, you know, they hoped would be a lowercase Klefbom. It hasn't worked out that way. But I think what you can do is you can put Broberg in there, maybe give Nurse a rest once in a while. But he was not good in game 3.
Oh, he hasn't been good enough. And I know a lot of the criticism, look, we went through that. This was back when $4 million a year was a lot with Brisebois. People dumped on Brisebois because he was making $4 million, which seemed too much at the time.
And in Canadian markets, they target guys who make money.
Yeah.
It just becomes a thing that the scapegoat is the guy that makes a lot of money. Mitch Marner in Toronto, it just becomes, you know, if you make a lot of money, you're going to be singled out. If Darnell Nurse made $3 million, no one would care. But it's a hard cap league. He makes $9.5 million, and he's a target. And so I would say to you that Edmonton, I mean, the Oilers had that game, you know, they outplayed Dallas badly the first 24 minutes of the game. You want to say that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then Dallas just, like, that Wyatt Johnson's so good. And having him back makes Jason Robertson a better player. So
depending on how my life works out in the next month or so, I'm actually really, with my girlfriend, looking very, very closely at Prague in August. Does that make sense? Or is there a better time?
100%. You know what? And I would say this to you, Mitch. One of the great things about Prague is you go there, and you are right in the heart of Europe. You're a four-hour train ride to Berlin, 4 hours to Munich, 4 hours to Vienna. You're about five to Bratislava, and maybe six to Bratislava. But you can take a weekend trip, like go down to Vienna, then go over to Bratislava, then go down to Budapest. Like, you are so close to everything. But Prague itself, I'm telling you, is magical.
I think Andy wants to jump on board with us.
I do. It's never been on my bucket list for some reason.
So Andy, just a little bit of advice here. Mitch has not traveled widely. His girlfriend, who I don't know, I'm going to guess, is moderately excited about the idea of him actually going somewhere. I don't think you're invited. I'm just going to say, I think you need to temper your expectations. I'm going to say that Mitch's girlfriend, who I'm sure is wonderful.
She is. Of course she is.
Is going to say, we're doing this alone.
Well, Andy did tag along with an ex-girlfriend to Boston with me for the Winter Classic.
That's until Mitch tries to sign in for his online checking on his phone, and then she'll be happy I'm there.
Yes, perhaps.
Welcome back. Thanks for the sweat over the last couple of weeks. Greatly enjoyed it, and have yourself a terrific week.
Okay, guys. Take care.
And the Czechs are gold medalists in Prague. A moment to last a lifetime.